الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Inshallah, we'll continue the series with the third story of Surah Al-Kahf, the story of Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام and Al-Khadir عليه الصلاة والسلام also. And this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us. It contains so much meanings and specifically talks about seeking knowledge and the manners between the teacher and the student with his teacher. Subhanallah al-Azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He did not give us this knowledge for no reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to learn and to struggle and strive so we can learn and become a better Muslim and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on basira, on knowledge and wisdom, and to do everything correctly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us. Here in this story, as it's been authentically narrated, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam stood up from amongst his people, Bani Israel, and he was giving them a lecture, he was giving them a talk. So their eyes became teary and everyone enjoyed it. A person stood up and said, "O Musa, who is the most knowledgeable person on this earth?" Musa alayhi salatu wasalam replied and said, "Myself." Of course, according to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, even the answer was not accurate, but according to him, he is a messenger who's spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that specialty that he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as is being revealed to us in the Quran, that he is one of the five of strong will of messengers. Min ulil azmi min ar-rusul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chosen him to be from amongst the strong will of messengers. Subhanallah al-Azim. And he said, "Myself." Remember in the first story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he was asked a question and he didn't say insha'Allah, the wahi stopped for 15 days. Now with Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he did not say Allahu a'lam, only Allah knows best. He said, "I am." And we have to remember that our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all of mankind. Whilst Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he was sent to the children of Israel. So it is possible there could be another prophet, another messenger out there with him whilst he did not know about that. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never revealed that to him. Here Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was ordered to pack his luggage, to pack his sustenance, to take provisions and leave and go to meet this person that he was going to learn from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded Musa and said to him, "Go and meet one of our ibad, one of our slaves. He will teach you new things." Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he set out on a journey. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Kahf, we start from verse number 60. He said, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا. To the meaning, and mention, يعني O Muhammad, mention, when Musa said to his boy, his servant, "I will not cease traveling until I reach the junction of the two seas or continue for a long period." Now here, a very important point we have to mention, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as all messengers, as all the followers of the messengers, they know the value of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the meaning, whomever takes a path to seek knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pave a path for him to the Jannah. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, whomever wants good from him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to succeed, يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, he will teach him his religion. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونَةٌ مَلْعُونٌ مَا فِيهَا, that this dunya is cursed and everything in it is cursed, إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَالَاهُ وَعَالِمًا وَمُتَعَلِّمًا, except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what follows it, يعني what comes with it, and عَالِمْ وَمُتَعَلِّمْ, يعني a teacher and a student. Subhanallah al-Azim, the people who spend their time away from seeking the knowledge, how much they're wasting their time in cursed things, wal-iyadu billah. They're wasting their time in things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the meaning that a person, he would get a reward of a pilgrimage. من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه. You will get the full reward of pilgrimage while you're staying home or staying in your city. If you go to the masjid and the only thing you want to do in that masjid to learn or teach. Subhanallah, the reward of learning. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the etiquette of a student of knowledge. He is a messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as guidance. So he said that I will keep traveling as long as it takes. As long as it takes, it doesn't matter for how long. Ya'ni, a student does not say, I will start learning and I will stop after 6 months. Or as soon as I finish my bachelor's in Islamic studies, this is where I stop learning. No, the journey of learning, as Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he explained to us and he taught us, he said, أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَ, and I will keep traveling for a long time. He did not say, he did not put a limit, because he knew the importance of learning, especially things that he did not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the most knowledgeable person, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, say, oh my Lord, increase my knowledge. Because the more you know, the better you are, the better your behavior is, the better you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is so many stories about scholars and sahaba and companions and their students traveling to learn, traveling to learn. They never cease the traveling to learn. As for one hadith, the great sahabi Jabir ibn Abdullah, he traveled for 1 month to Abdullah ibn Unais so he can learn from him one hadith. Imagine traveling on your feet for 1 month to learn just one hadith, subhanallah al-azim. Here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that I will keep traveling. I will not cease from traveling until I find what I want to learn. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us and said, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا. But when they reached the junction between them, they forgot their fish and it took its course into the sea, slipping away. Here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered to take a fish with him. And the mark, the sign that he reached to the place when that fish jumps in the water. So he took a fish in Miktal, in a traveling bag. He put the fish in it and his provisions, and he took his slave boy and they set out on a journey. And the mark was put that you would find your teacher Al-Khadir is when that fish jumps into the water. Subhanallah al-Azim. And here, when they reached the junction between the two seas, the fish jumped in the water and it created like a tunnel, within the water where it is round. The fish swam into it and left that tunnel as a sign. Here, Musa, of course, the boy did not see that happens. He seen that, but he did not tell Musa alayhi salatu wasalam because he forgot to tell him. Here, after a while, he said, فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا, after they passed beyond it, Musa قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. Musa said, والسلام, said to his boy, bring us our morning meal. We have certainly suffered in this, our journey, much fatigue. See, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's a messenger, and messengers that have been given a strong power. And remember that in one punch, he killed the Coptic. He killed the Coptic with one punch, subhanallah al-azim. For him to say, I am tired, I am fatigued, tired, that means he really traveled for a very long time, for a long journey, subhanallah al-azim. He said, bring us our morning meal. Now the boy, he said, قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِذْ أَوَيْنَا إِلَى الصَّخْرَةِ He said, did you see when we retired to the rock back there, when we sat and rested a little bit? He said, فَإِنِّي نَسِيتُ الْحُوتَ وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ I forgot, indeed, I forgot there the fish, and none made me forget it except Shaitan that I would mention it. وَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ عَجَبًا And it took its course into the sea amazingly. Here the boy, and the lessons are from this verse, that forgetting is from Shaitan, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ So if you forget something, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. Because the shaitan is the one who makes you forget things. Also, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how did he react? Did he get angry and he reprimanded and he was harsh on the boy? Or he just let him go and said, Alhamdulillah, let's turn back. And this is to show you the mercy of prophets and messengers and how they teach us to be easy with people when they do a mistake. And to be easy with people when they forget to do things or they forget their appointments or their timing. It doesn't mean they do it based on a bad intention. No, we always, as Muslims, we have to treat each other with a good opinion about each other and with open heart and open mind without being hard, rigid to each other. And every time somebody does a mistake, we need to be harsh and hard and turn them away. Subhanallah, today we see brothers and sisters who are involved in the da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would take every opportunity when they see a mistake from someone to treat them harshly and hardly and turn them away, wal-iyadu billah, from Islam. Some of the teachers, they treat their students in a very bad manner. And also at the same time, the students don't have any manners with their teachers. And here, see, he forgot the most important thing is the place of meeting. That's what he set out to do. And at the same time, listen to the response of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Listen properly how he responded. He said, قَالَ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنَّا نَبْغُ He said, Moses said, that is what we were seeking. Yani he didn't reprimand him. He didn't get angry with him. He said, this is what we want. So, no big deal. Let's turn back. Let's not cause a fuss. فَارْتَدَّا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصًا So they returned following their footprints. Yes? So they turned back with no hard, harsh feelings towards each other. خَلَص, you forgot it. Alhamdulillah. Let's turn back. So, Musa and his slave boy followed back their footprints until they reached the meeting place where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam supposed to meet with the Khadr. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَجَدَا عَبَدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا And they found a servant from among our servants, i.e. here Al-Khadr, to whom we had given mercy from us and had taught him from us a certain knowledge. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Islam, they found Al-Khadr. Now, why is he called Al-Khadr? He is called Al-Khadr because, as it has been authentically narrated, that he, whenever he wished to sit on something, he would turn it to green as a miracle for him. Some ulama said that because he was covered with a green cover or green garment, which is the authentic narration, that he used to sit on farwa, yani grass or something like that. And if it is grey or it is not green, it would turn green as a miracle to him. Now here we want to stop for a little while and explain an issue that it's been miss or confusing or has confused some people with the issue of Al-Khadr. Al-Khadr, alayhi salatu wasalam, some ulama said he's a wali. A wali, yani, if it is correct to translate it, which is I have some preservation on this translation, which is saint. Of course, saint, the word saint, it's used by Christians. We should not really be using it because a wali is not really like a saint. He is a wali. And then they would make stories, especially our brothers and sisters who like fairy tales a lot and they like myth to fabricate stories. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ They made so many stories. Some of them believe that he's still alive till today. Yes, still alive till today. And he, sometimes some people, they say, oh, alhamdulillah, we went to the Medina and we went to pray in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and we saw Al-Khadir and he shook our hand and we met him. Subhanallah al-Azim. It's all made up stories because Al-Khadir, first and foremost, no one lives for that long period of time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 34, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِمِّتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ We did not grant any man before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eternity on earth. So if you die, would they be eternal? Yes, everyone, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every soul shall taste death. So there is no one going to live eternity. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to the meaning that every soul from that time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said would not live to 100 years. Yes, like would reach 100 years. This is from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a hadith that is on the face of the earth on that time. So collectively, we know from all the proofs that there is no one would live to eternity. And the Khadir, he came and passed away as every prophet has done. Here, also another issue relating to the issue of Al-Khadir, alayhi salatu wasalam, that whether he's a wali or a prophet. The most correct opinion the scholars are on that he is a prophet. Why? For many proofs that insha'Allah will provide. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ To the meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called prophethood mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that do they divide and distribute the mercy of your Lord? This verse was revealed when people from Mecca, they said, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the prophethood to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why doesn't he send it to great men of Mecca? And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them and said, do they distribute the mercy of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called prophethood mercy. And in the verse that is in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 65, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِنَا آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً They found a slave from our slaves, we gave him rahmah and mercy. And also, the Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, when he killed the little boy and broke part of the ship, as we will go through inshallah, he said, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي And I did not do it from my own accord. It's not me. I've been ordered to do so. So this is knowledge that was given to him. Is knowledge from the unseen. It is knowledge from the unseen. So he did not do it himself except from a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we know, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that anything to do with an unseen, you need a revelation. Wahi. You cannot rationally derive that. You need wahi, revelation, to tell you this. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah Al-Imran, verse 81, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهِ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ To the meaning, and recall, O people of the scripture, when Allah took the covenant of the prophet say, whatever I give you of the scripture and wisdom, and then there come to you a messenger confirming what is with you, you must believe in him and support him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant, and are you witness on this? They said, we are witness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the witness for that. See here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to the meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from the prophets and from the messengers, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send a prophet or a messenger, all the prophet and messengers at that time, they're supposed to go out and support that a prophet and messenger and fight with him and be with him and give him the aid and support he needs. So what are we saying here? That if Al-Khadr was alive at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was supposed to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, supporting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the best of worship back in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his battlefield, whenever he was, to be with him and support him and give him the covenant that is needed. So if the Khadr was alive then, so where was he and why he did not support Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and why didn't he come and fight in jihad in Battle of Badr and Battle of Uhud with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So what are we trying to say here, my brothers and sisters in Islam? What are we saying here? That Al-Khadr was a prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him knowledge that he did not teach Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and also he passed away. Allahu A'lam the exact date, but he passed away and he was not around nor alive whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam Muhammad was alive and there with him. Here, just to go through this point, because that's a very important point, because we hear a lot of stories which were stretched and spiced about Al-Khadr alayhi salam, which has no authenticity altogether, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran. Here he said, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, after he found Al-Khadr, he said to him, he greeted him with the salam, and then Al-Khadr, he replied and said, where the salam is found in your land? And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam approached him as a student should approach his teacher and listen to this. He said, قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, may I follow you on the condition that you teach me from what you have been taught of sound judgment? So Musa listened to the way he asked, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ, يعني in English as it's translated, may I follow you? And this is the manners of asking for knowledge. Yani when you speak to the teacher, you say, may I please, can I please, in English. Don't force and say, can you teach me? Here, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, very eloquent, a lot of etiquettes. He said, may I follow you? So I will be with you wherever you go, as long as you can teach me something from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you. And he did not teach me. Then here, listen to the teacher what he said. He said to him, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. He said, indeed, with me, you will never be able to have patience. Here the teacher, he's warning his student, whatever I teach is very hard for you. And sometimes you would not comprehend what I'm teaching you. So you need patience. Yes? And this is one of the most important characteristics of a student of knowledge. After sincerity, after you are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your seeking of knowledge, the most important attribute, the most important characteristics, the most important thing you need to have, which is 90% what I found from the students who seek knowledge, Islamic knowledge, do not have that, which is patience. They want to become scholars, shuyukh, teachers within 2 or 3 years. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I am talking from experience. We all students, we will never reach the ultimate. And we need patience to learn. Because this knowledge, especially the Islamic knowledge, as the ulama said, that if you give it all your time, it gives you proportion of it back. It does not give you everything back. And if you give it part of your time, it hardly gives you anything. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, you need patience, patience, patience while you're studying Islam. And not from the very first time. Sometimes things are complex, very hard to understand. And you need patience to listen to once and twice and three times, especially complex issue of aqeedah and tawheed and all those things, you need time for them. And you need to read them over and over and over and revise and go back through your notes and remember and memorize rules and so on and so forth, so you can attain the knowledge. You would not attain the knowledge if you are hasty with no patience. If you're aiming to become a scholar in 4 years, then forget it. You don't have the patience. I can relate this story to you of Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shanqiti. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him and preserve him and increase his knowledge. Subhanallah, he said in one of his lectures, or many of his lectures, he repeats this story, that when he used to learn under his father, Muhammad al-Amin, the great scholar, the great mufassir, the great scholar, Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti, he used to say, I used to sit in my father's halaqa, and I used to cry because I never used to understand what my father is saying. And mind you, that his father used to speak Arabic, and he used to speak Arabic too, so there is no barrier of language like we have today between Arabic and English. And he still would not understand and comprehend what his father is saying. And he would cry when he gets home, because he feels all this knowledge is wasted. He cannot encompass it all in his mind. And he would cry and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with patience, he is now who he is now, which is one of the greatest scholars of fiqh in the world. Subhanallah al-Azim. Al-Khadir, he said to him, وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. And how can you have patience for what you do not encompass in knowledge? You do not have knowledge. You do not know what I am going to do. So how are you going to have the patience for that? Subhanallah. How are you going to have the patience for that? But what did Musa say here? He said, yes, khalas, tayyib. Okay, no patience. I'll just go home now. I'll just pack my bags and go home. Did he do that? No. He is a messenger. He is a teacher. He wants to teach us also. He said, قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. He said, you will find me, if Allah wills, patient, and I will not disobey you in any order. And this is the student. This is the etiquette of a student. He says, yes, inshallah, I will be patient with you, O teacher, and I will try to have patience as much as possible, and I will not disobey you. Yani, when the teacher looks at his student, and he knows the level of his student, whatever the student can comprehend. And then the student comes to the teacher and he says to him, oh teacher, I want to read such and such a book. And the teacher would say, no, do not read this one yet, read that one. The student would say, why? He said, because this is above your level. Read this book that is good according to your level. Now the student arrogantly goes, because he thinks he's smarter than his teacher, to read that book, and he gets confused, and most of the time he wasted his time because he could not understand. So when the teacher recommends and gives an order, since you trusted this teacher of yours, then listen to their advice. Because one day, they were students just like you. They were students and they used to sit with teachers. And again, I am saying this from an experience with students. The only ones who comes back with questions and misconceptions are the one who did not follow the nasiha, the advice the teachers would give them. And here he said, Musa, I would not disobey you in any order. Now, the teacher Al-Khadir, he wants to put conditions. And this is the right of a teacher to put a condition on his students. He said, قَالَ فَإِنِ اتَّبَعْتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. He said, then if you follow me, do not ask me about anything until I make to you about it mention to the meaning, I explain it to you. Subhanallah al-Azim. And this is a condition where a teacher is allowed to put a condition. Let me give you an example. Let's say you are sitting in a circle of knowledge. And then the teacher is explaining a point. And then you, Sheikh, please, can I ask you this question? Halfway you want to interfere. And then the teacher would lose the point of what he's talking about. He get muddled up of what he's talking about. And then
If you have waited until your teacher finishes his point, maybe the answer is within the lesson. But a lot of the students do this, and this is not from the etiquette. If the teacher says to you in the beginning of the lesson that please do not ask me until I finish my point or I finished my lesson, then you're not allowed to do so. Do not ask and write the question down. Same thing. If he says to you, look, at any time you can ask me, then you're allowed to do so. My brothers and sisters in Islam, as you see, it's an etiquette. And you cannot then, if the teacher puts condition on you, that, for example, some teachers that put condition, any hadith that I will teach you, you must memorize or you must do, and then you go out and backbite and you say, this teacher is hard and this teacher is easy and so on and so forth. Why? Because the teacher is allowed. From the Quran, we have proof of that. To put conditions on their students. And the student, if they like to learn, they're welcome. They don't like it, they're not allowed to backbite and say bad things about their teachers. Why? Because from the Quran, we know the Quran taught us that a teacher is allowed to put condition on their students. Here he said, انطلقَ حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها. قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا. Here he said, so when they set out and embarked on a ship, they went out and they embarked him and Musa on a ship. Here Al-Khadir tore the ship open. Here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his mercy, because of who he is, because he's a messenger, he cannot see someone does anything wrong. He cannot see what is apparent to him is wrong. Breaking a ship is wrong. He cannot do that. You cannot cause a malicious damage. You cannot damage things that are not yours. You Islamically have to compensate the people you damaged. Here he said, why did you damage it? لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. And listen to how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam responded. And listen to the mercy of the prophets. He said, لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا, to drown its people. Isn't Musa and Al-Khadir themselves on the ship also? But Musa never mentioned himself, nor he mentioned Al-Khadir. He mentioned the people. Why? Because the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled inside the heart of messengers and prophets, where they would worry about the welfare of the people. And that's what he said. He said, how can you damage this ship? You want the people to drown? He never thought of himself, nor he mentioned the Khadir. And that is the mercy of the Prophet. He's seen something that is wrong, and he complained to him. But before that, there was a nice little story that happened on the ship. Before Al-Khadir tore it open, there was a bird that landed on the ship and took a bit of water from the sea. Khadr said to Musa, can you see my knowledge and your knowledge combined? He said, yes. He said, your knowledge and my knowledge combined, it's like comparing to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like what the bird have drank from this sea. Subhanallah al-Azim, to show us the vastness of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, very quickly, after Musa complained, alayhi salatu wasalam, very quickly, Al-Khadir, the teacher, reprimanded his student. He said, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Al-Khadir said, did I not say that with me you would never be able to have patience? Of course, my brothers and sisters in Islam, he's a prophet, Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. He could not see something wrong. But Al-Khadir, he reprimanded him, he said, I told you, but with me, I have knowledge that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about. It is very hard for you, O Musa, to understand it. That's why you need patience to take it step by step, a little drink by little drink. You cannot drink it all at once. And hear what he said to him. Then Musa, very quickly, he knew that he'd done something wrong. He knew that he broke the condition. He said, قَالَ لَا تُؤَخِذْنِي. Subhanallah, the manners of the messengers, he said, do not blame me. بِمَا نَسِيتْ وَلَا تُرْهِقْنِي مِنْ أَمْرِي عُسْرًا. He said, do not blame me for what I forgot and do not cover me in my matter with difficulty.
يعني I am a human being also. And sometimes we do forget and sometimes we do haste. And I could not help myself not to complain.
Then they kept on going on their journey. And Al-Khadir to show us more and more from his knowledge. فَانْتَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا لَقِيَا غُلَامًا فَقَتَلَهُ قَالَ أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. Subhanallah. So they set out until when they met a boy. I.e. the Khadir killed him. Subhanallah, in some narration said, he actually removed his head. Musa said, and now, of course, no human being, no messenger, no prophet can see someone kill a human being, especially a young boy, innocent for no reason. Subhanallah. And this is against the Sharia of Musa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that we write in it, the Torah, that an-nafsa bin-nafs, that a soul with a soul, and an eye to an eye, and so on. The verse says, so how can you kill someone? For no reason. Yes, you kill the pure soul for other than having killed the soul. Yani there is nothing. That person never murdered anyone. And he's only a young boy. How could you do such an act? Musa would not be able to hold himself. You have certainly done an ugly, disgusting thing. Something that is rejected. How can you do this? Then, again, here, the teacher reminded Musa, he said, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. Again, I am telling you, O Musa, did not tell you that with me, you would never be able to have patience. Subhanallah. Here, the second warning, it's been passed on. And we will understand, inshallah, from this story we see that we should give people before we punish them three warnings. Here, the second warning came out. Here, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he remembered the condition and he remembered what he'd done wrong. He said, قَالَ إِن سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي قَدْ بَلَغْتَ مِنْ لَدُنِّي عُذْرًا. He said to him, if I should ask you about anything after this, then do not keep me as a companion. You have obtained from me an excuse. Here, he said to him, if I ask you about anything, khalas. You have an excuse. You can suspend me. You can stop the journey. And everyone would go his own way. I am sorry. Khalas, you already have warned me twice for this. He admitted for what he has done wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَانْتَلَقَا حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ اسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا فَأَبَوْا أَنْ يُضَيِّفُوهُمَا فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَنْقَضْ فَأَقَامَهُ قَالَ لَوْ شِئْتَ لَاتَّخَذْتَ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. So they set out until when they came to the people of a town. They went into a town and they entered that town. And then they asked the people for food. Musa and Al-Khadir, they asked people for food. And here, it is very important that Islamically, you would feed a person if he asks you and he knocks on your door to help him and give him the aid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made part of the 8 categories of zakat, 1 category for Ibn al-Sabil, for the traveler who does not have any money. And if he runs out of money. And the fuqaha, the scholars of jurisprudence said, if that person runs out of money, even if he's rich back home, you should help him and you should give him assistance. And subhanAllah, these people, yani even the minute of generosity, which is to feed someone standing on your door asking you for food, فَأَبَوْا أَن يُضَيِّفُهُمَا. They rejected and they did not want to offer them any type of hospitality. Even the little thing, a little amount of food or a bit of hospitality for a traveler who's been traveling for a very long time, they rejected that. Here he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, then they saw a wall, it's just going about to collapse. يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَدْ. The wall wanted to collapse. Then Al-Khadir built that wall back. Here, Musa also, out of his character, he said, Ya Allah, What are you helping these people? They've at least, they didn't want to feed us, they didn't even have the minimum of generosity. They will at least would have asked them for some money or for some help or bit of payment. Yes. Then here, he broke the third condition. And here, as we said, he gives someone two chances. In the third chance, you would then reprimand them or you would punish them for what they have done. Here he said, قَالَ هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ. This is parting between me and you. سَأُنَبِّئُكَ بِتَأْوِيلِ مَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. I will inform you of the interpretation of that about which you could not have patience. And here, before we continue this, I want to stop for a little point. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told us these stories for something behind them. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala predestined something to you, Muslim, yani the wisdom also you derive, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have done something to you, O Muslim, Allah have taken your child or destroyed anything for you, maybe there is a better result for you in the future. Yes? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, whatever he does to his slave, it is good for him. Even if it is apparently looks like a harmful thing to you. Even it is, you feel bitter about it and you feel it is hard, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be willing good for you. How many times throughout our lives, Muslims, we saw things that, yes, we thought they were hard to us. For example, you applied for a job and then you were rejected. And then once you were rejected, you felt bad inside your heart. You felt bitter. You felt, say, oh, why? Why is this happening to me? Why I've been rejected from such a good job? And then after 5-6 years, you realize, you say, Subhanallah al-Azim, if I have taken this job or if they gave me this job, I would have been in a strife, or I would have been out of job now because the company gone broke, or I would have been such and such, or such and such would have happened to me. Subhanallah al-Azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he predestined to his slave, it's always good. From the interpretation, we get this point. Here he said, and he is explaining, interpreting to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam what happened. He said to him, أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working at an area. So I intended to cause defect in it, as there was after them a king who seized every good ship by force. So here he said to him, that he is a king who would take every ship and he would take everything that he goes by. Yani every time he sees a ship, he will seize it and take it. So I wanted to cause a little harm to it, little damage to it, so he's not interested in it. And subhanallah, the fuqaha, the scholars of jurisprudence, did not let this verse go without deriving an important rule. A very, very important rule that we use in the major fatwas that the ulama give, which is avoiding the major evil by the smaller evil. The big harm that is going to come to the community, if it is going to be avoided by practicing the smaller harm, we will practice the smaller harm. We will order the smaller harm as long as we can stop and prevent the major harm to come to the community. And this comes from this verse. One of the proofs for that golden rule is this verse. Yes, because the major harm going to happen if he sees the whole boat. But if we break the tip of it or part of it, and then he would look at it and he sees it's damaged, then he would not be interested, and this way they can fix it. But if the whole ship is seized, then we lost it, all of it, subhanallah al-azim. Here he said, as for the ghulam, أَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَ أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. And as for the boy, his parents were believers and were feared that he would overburden them by transgression and disbelief. فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبَدِّلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمَا. So we intended that their Lord should substitute for them one better than him in purity and nearer to mercy. So here he said that the boy was going to grow up to be an evil boy, and he's going to be a kafir. This is very important, my brothers and sisters, to support the point I was trying to make earlier on, that Al-Khadir cannot be a wali. Indeed, he is a prophet from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do I say this? Because how would he know that he's going to grow up and become an evil disbeliever? Yes, if it wasn't a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one on this earth would know the future, the unseen, except the prophets. And the prophets and messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not teach him the absolute unseen. No, only what they need to know. And if he was a wali, then he's not a prophet. Yes, then there in no way anyone would know the unseen. And this is one of the strong proof. And also here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses in the Quran, taught us that if our descendant to be righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. Indeed, from amongst your children and your wealth, an enemy to you, so be careful of them. How is that? That sometimes you would go out and work, bring haram money, so you can look after your children. Then your child is an enemy to you. Sometimes your child will become a disbeliever and give you a very hard time, then he's enemy to you and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be wary of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also did not let go. He showed us the methodology, how so we can have righteous children, when he said in Surah An-Nisa, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And be the ones who fearing that if they would leave behind them after they pass away, yes, the riyat and descendant, weak offspring, خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, they fear for them, let them fear Allah and say righteous and justice word. So if you really want your children, your descendant to become righteous, then اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهِ, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa all the time in your life and say a justice word. Do not lie, do not say a wrong thing, and do not be a false witness, and do not backbite. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your descendant even after you die. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them dhurriyatan di'afa, a weak offspring, subhanallah al-azim. So that's why in these verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the people were righteous, the father and the mother were righteous, yes, it is better for them, for the child to die, not to grow up and become a kafir, and then he will sadden their heart. And sometimes, some of the calamities we face, we lose our children in front of our eyes, maybe, or it is, in fact, for a wisdom that only Allah knows. Maybe that child that you're feeling sorry for him today, who passed away, maybe if he was to grow up or she was to grow up, would turn to a disbeliever, and that you'd live a very harsh and miserable life. Maybe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And here he said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا. And as for the wall, it was for two orphan children, yes, in the city. And under it, there was a treasure. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And his father and mother were righteous. Subhanallah, how righteousness would protect your children and even the wealth of the children. And Allah would send good people to look after your children after you pass away. فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَن يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Then your Lord wanted them to grow up and become mature and strong men, and then they would extract the treasure as a mercy from your Lord. And then here, Al-Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي. And everything you see, now, Musa, from me,
I did not do it from my own accord. Yes, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, He is the one who ordered me to do so. ذلك تأويل ما لم تستع عليه صبرا. And that is the interpretation of that about which you could not have patience about. And this is the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with Al-Khadir, and the story of a teacher and his student. Very quickly, I would go through some of the quick lessons that we learned from this story. The first lesson, that a person should not be fooled with his knowledge and not be amazed and proud with his knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always have, and there is always a person who is more knowledgeable than him. That the steadfastness and the eager and the strive for learning, yes, it is even with the messengers and the prophets. So how about us, which is the messengers and the prophets who are the most knowledgeable, they still have the vigor and the excitement to learn. How about us who we do not know anything and we still don't seek the knowledge? Here also another lesson, which is the eloquence and the manners between the student with his teacher. And when he said to him, عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي, يعني that you will, maybe you would teach me something. Also the lesson that when the student, he said, سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا, that Musa did not forget that to attach the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience, because one of us would not know in the future whether he be patient or not. That's why it's very important to say, inshallah, I will be patient. And here also the complete obedience to his teacher when he said, لا أعصي لك أمرا, I would not disobey your teaching. And also another lesson, that the teacher should always give the correct advice to his student, and to be nasih amin, that he is a good advisory and trustworthy. When he said, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعْيَ صَبْرًا, indeed you would not be patient. So from first, yes, if you're teaching a hard topic and you're a teacher, says from the beginning, it's not the easiest of topic, so you need to have a lot of patience. And another lesson, it is from manners that the student would not haste to ask his teacher. He should be patient. Here he said, do not ask me anything until I tell you. So that the student should have not haste, and it is from manners of learning to wait until somebody finishes his speech or his talk, and then you would ask. Also, we see another story, another lesson here, that a prophet, a messenger, and a Muslim should always forbid evil. When he sees evil is happening, should forbid it very quickly if he can. In his hand, if he's able. With his tongue, is he able to speak, say a good word? If he's not able to do both, then in his heart, he should be able to forbid the evil, as Musa a.s. have forbidden the evil. Of course, we need to be careful and forbid evil with wisdom, and not to create a greater evil. Only with forbid evil, we know that it was going to be an at benefit, not just to cause harm and cause arguments and debates and headache. And we have to learn how to conduct our da'wah. Also, another lesson, that it is the right of a teacher to reprimand his student when he does something wrong. And also that one of the most important lessons, the righteousness of a father would expand and passed on to his children. That if the father and the mother are righteous, that righteousness will be passed on to the children, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect the children. Of course, there is many stories, my brothers and sisters in Islam. There's some scholars who wrote books about the story of Musa and Al-Khadir, but this is what we can give in about an hour time. جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.